Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Pastor Chuck is currently leading us on a verse-by-verse venture through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, we'll be following the moving of the ark. We pick up today's lesson in 1 Chronicles, chapter 13, verse 1. And now, here's Pastor Chuck Smith with today's message.
Now in chapter 13, one of the first things that David desires to do is to bring the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. I think that it is rather significant that his first activity as king stems from a spiritual desire. And it is really a spiritual activity to bring the Ark of the Covenant unto Jerusalem in order that there might be the acknowledgement again of the place of Jehovah in the life of the nation. And so he consulted with the captains of the thousands and the hundreds and with every leader. And David said unto all the congregation of Israel, "If it seems good unto you, and if it be of Jehovah our God, let us send abroad unto our brethren everywhere that are left in all the land of Israel, and with them also to the priests and Levites which are in their cities and suburbs, that they may gather themselves unto us, and let us bring again the ark of our God to us. For we inquired not at it in the days of Saul." If it seems right to you and to God, let's get everybody together. Let's do a big thing. Let's, bring this Ark of the Covenant back unto us. The problem, though, is that David inquired of all of the captains and the leaders. He should have inquired of the Lord and of the priest. For though David's desire was a good desire, what he was wanting to do was the right thing to do, yet he was going about it the wrong way. He was copying the methods of the Philistines rather than seeking the Lord. So David, in his endeavor to bring the Ark of the Covenant back, had a new cart built and took a couple of cows, and these guys were driving these oxen, pulling the cart with the Ark of the Covenant on it, copying the method of the Philistines. But in the book of Numbers, God had given instructions how the Ark of the Covenant was to be transported. It was to be carried by the priest, by these staves that were put through the rings in the side of the ark. No one was to touch the ark. They were to lift up these staves and carry it, sliding the staves through these golden rings, and they were to carry it between themselves. That was God's instructions in the transporting of the Ark of the Covenant. They're copying the Philistines. As they were bringing the ark on this cart, they came to the threshing floor, and the ox stumbled, and the cart started to shake, and Uzzah, one of the guys who was driving the oxen, reached his hand to steady the ark, and when he touched it, God smote him, and he died. We read in verse 7, they carried the ark of God in a new cart out of the house of Abinadab, and Uzzah and Ahio drove the cart. And David and all of Israel were playing before God with all their might. They were singing with harps and psalteries and timbrels and cymbals and with trumpets. I mean, it was a gala thing. They had gathered all these men of Israel. Big, tough, mighty men. Now they're dancing and they're singing and they're rejoicing. What a spectacle this must have been. But suddenly in the midst of the thing, Uzzah, reaching to steady the ark, falls over dead. And this whole gala, exciting crowd is in a moment hushed. And a fear comes upon them all. And David was afraid of God that day. And he said, how shall I bring the ark of God home to me? I mean, wow, I can't live with this thing. And he had a real fear now of it, a real respect and reverence, realizing what it means to have the presence of God. It means a purifying, a walking in purity. And so David called the name of the place Perez Uzzah. Perez means breaking forth, for God broke forth on Uzzah. And thus the name of the place, Perez Uzzah. So David did not bring the ark home to himself, to Jerusalem, but he just set it aside there in the house of Obed-Edom, who was a Levite. And it remained there for 3 months. And the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that he had. So the ark was parked there for 3 months. Now, let's let God guide the activities of the church. And you will discover, and we have discovered, when God guides, God provides. Just the desire to do something for the Lord isn't sufficient. We must do them in the way that the Lord would have them done. Now, that always is the way that will bring glory to God. When we do things with man's methods, it may be that we get the job done, but because we've done them with man's methods, then man gets the glory. But when we wait upon God and seek God, and there's no pressure, there's no hype, we just let God work and seek God to do his work, then only God can get the glory. And God has a work that he wants to do. But there's the right way of doing it and the wrong way of doing it. And the right way will be blessed of God and led of God. And continues then to be a blessing because it brings such glory to God. And that's why God so often uses such unlikely people. That's why God has chosen the simple things of the world to confound the wise. And they look at the men that God has used. They say, well, they don't have their doctorates. How can they do that, you know? Who gave them the authority? Hey, it's God. To God be the glory, great things he has done. We have seen God do one phenomenal work through this church. When we started out, there were several little churches in Costa Mesa about the same size as ours. And one of the pastors of one of these little independent congregations, as we were building the facility out here, because God was blessing and we were growing, he told his congregation, folks, if God can do it for Chuck Smith, he can do it for anybody. And he was seeking to encourage the people. And that's just why God did it for Chuck Smith. So that God could use it as an example and an encouragement to others. If God can use me, he can use anybody. And thus, that's why God uses nobodies. So that nobodies can be encouraged. And they can know, hey, if God can use him, God can use me. That's why we wrote the book Harvest. And we let you in on the background of some of these fellows. so that you can know that God can take the most unlikely person in the world, the person voted most apt to fail, most apt to end in the penitentiary, and God can use them to do a mighty work in touching thousands of lives. And if God can use them, God can use you. What it takes is singleness of heart, the commitment of myself totally and completely to God, putting God first, and then allowing God to work through me. Not trying to develop some program, not following the methods of the world, but seeking the plan and the will of God. Chapter 14 is dealing with Hiram, the king of Tyre, who sent messengers down to David, and he brought down timbers of cedars. He sent masons and carpenters in order to build a palace for David. Now recognized by all of Israel, he felt it was important that David have a beautiful palace there in Jerusalem. And so David perceived that the Lord had confirmed him, the king over Israel, for his kingdom was lifted up on high because of his people, Israel. God loved his people, and God blessed his people, and David saw how God was blessing, and he came to the realization, wow, God has chosen me to be king. That's such a glorious thing. That realization that as God works and as God is doing his glorious works, he's chosen you to have a part in that work. You perceive, wow. You know, and you can't really believe it always that, you know, me, a shepherd from Bethlehem, you know, king over these people, over this powerful kingdom. But David's far from perfect. And he began to take more wives at Jerusalem and began to bear more sons and daughters. And I think there's about 11 sons and a couple of daughters that are listed here that were born from David. Now, he increased his harem, which is against the law of God. In Deuteronomy chapter 17, and when you set kings over your land, they are not to multiply unto themselves wives. And yet David was guilty of doing so. Now, the Philistines, when they saw the success of David, they saw that he was anointed king over Israel, they came to seek David. They wanted to destroy him. And David heard that they were coming against him, so he went out against them. And the Philistines spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of God, saying, "Shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hand?" And the Lord said unto him, "Go up, for I will deliver them into your hand." So they came up to Baal Perazim, and David smote them there. Then David said, "God hath broken in upon mine enemies by my hand, like the breaking forth of waters." Therefore, they called the name of the place Baal Perazim, which is the breach against Baal. Here God destroyed the Philistines. And in the battle, the Philistines had brought their little gods, their little images, and David ordered them all to be gathered and burned. God's breach, God breaking forth out against and upon the Philistines. So the Philistines regathered their forces, spread themselves again in the valley. And David inquired again of God. Now, this is a salient point. I think it's a place where we often make a mistake, in that we think that we have God's methods, and so we don't bother to pray the next time. Well, we know how God does these things. You know, we just go out now and attack. Now we know the plan of God, so we just, you know, follow this. And rather than seeking the Lord again in a similar situation, we figure, hey, you know, this is the way it's done. We don't need God's advice. We don't need God's help now. You know, we've been this route before, and so we just go out and we strike the enemy. But David was wise enough, though facing the same enemy in the similar circumstances, having just defeated them decisively, they regrouped, they gathered together again, and David prays again rather than just saying, come on, guys, let's go. He prays again and seeks counsel of the Lord again. Shall we go out against them again? And the Lord said, no. Circle around them and come in from the other side of the valley. But take your men and stay there under the mulberry trees until you hear the sounds of, and the Hebrew is the sounds of steps, or like marching steps in the mulberry trees. Like the sound of God marching before you now into the battle. And when you hear that sound, then attack them from that position. The significance being that God is not confined to one method or to one way in doing his work. And that we need to be seeking God continually. Though they may be similar circumstances, God might have different methods at this time than he used the last time. One of the common mistakes of the church is falling into methodology. In fact, in seminaries, they have courses on methodology. But God is not confined to a single method, to a single way of accomplishing his purposes. And we should never just follow patterns that have been successful in the past because they were successful in the past. We need to be continually seeking the wisdom and the guidance of God for every new situation. Even though it may be similar to a previous situation, let's seek God's face and God's way of accomplishing now the things that he is wanting to do. And may God free us from that, what I call ritualism. The church is guilty of ritualism, but it's also guilty of ritualism and getting in a rut, trying to keep doing the thing the same way. And I have found that there's only a slight difference between a rut and the grave. It's just the length and the depth. And when you get into a rut, you can soon die. You can make it a grave. You can get buried in a rut if you stay in it long enough. So let's keep open to God. Let's keep seeking the Spirit, that he will direct us in God's ways, how God wants to destroy the enemy. And let's be open to the ways of God always, realizing that God may be leading in a totally new way. Let's be willing to forsake the old ways. And please, please, should the Lord see fit to take me before he comes again for his church, and new leadership is raised up to lead this flock, please, do not be guilty of coming to the new leadership and saying, but when Chuck was here, this is the way Chuck did it. I promise you, I will haunt you if you do. God moves on, and God stays relevant to the age, and you cannot stay in a rut. But times are changing, and it's important that we not go into battle with the same methods that brought us victory the last time. God may have a new way of fighting this battle. Let's keep on our knees. Let's keep open to the Spirit of God. Let's keep sensitive to the way God is wanting to work. And if we do, we will see the continued blessing and work of God as He brings victories over the enemy. A lot to learn here from David. God help us to learn it, that we might remain in tune and in harmony with what God wants to do and how He wants to do it.
We'll return with more of our study of 1 Chronicles in our next lesson, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of today's message, or perhaps you'd like to order a copy for that special friend or loved one, you can do so by simply contacting one of our customer service representatives, and they'd be more than happy to assist you with the ordering details. Simply call 1-800-272-WORD. And phone orders can be taken Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-9673. And for your added convenience, you can order online, anytime, when you go to thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse through the additional resources that include Bible studies, commentaries, CDs, DVDs, and so much more. Once again, that's The Word for Today, online at thewordfortoday.org. And for those of you who still prefer to write, you can use our mailing address, which is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And be sure to include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck Smith continues his verse-by-verse study through the book of 1 Chronicles. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. Now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck Smith with today's closing prayer.
Father, we thank You for the privilege of being Your people and the privilege of seeing Your work. And Lord, help us that we might be always seeking from You how You would have us to attack the enemy, that we might continue to experience Your victories, Lord, over the powers of darkness as the enemies fall at Your hand. Lord, bless Your people. Enlarge their borders. Keep Your hand upon their lives and keep them from evil. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Do you want to know a great story about gang members, drug addicts, mental patients, society's rejects, and how God turned their lives around to use them mightily? It's all right here in the book Harvest. Join Pastor Chuck Smith as he tells the story of how God transformed the lives of 10 men to reach the world. Read the testimonies of Greg Laurie, Raul Reese, Mike McIntosh, John Corson, Skip Heitzik, and others, and see for yourself that if God can use these guys to spread the gospel worldwide, then God can use you too. To read a sneak preview of the book online, visit thewordfortoday.org or call The Word for Today at 800-272-WORD. I want to encourage you to check it out. This just might be the book to change a life of a loved one, or even you. Visit thewordfortoday.org.
This program has been sponsored by The Word for Today in Costa Mesa, California.